Welcome to the newest episode of the R-Beats Original Podcast, where we dive into hashtag local music somewhere and current topics interesting to any kind of creative mind listening.
I feel like we're going from like wagon wheels to engines right now with ChatGPT, you know, and thinking about where we are with what we're doing and everything and the time invested and all of that and the care with all to the local musicians and to artists in general and in the creative world. So we had a call that Judah and the Lion and Blank State had over 700 people show up to a event a while back. And I was like, I guess that's exciting. And then I had to stop and think about it for a minute. And I'm like, wait, that's a live event. And then in a live event, that is exciting because trying to put 700 people in a room. But when you think of 700 people online, you feel like, hey, that ain't nothing. You have 700 people, you're nobody. But when you have 700 people show up to an actual event, it's a big deal. Or I'm saying a local event.
And you're investing. It doesn't cost anything to say I like this or whatever. It takes a split second. But when you're taking the time to go to something.
Oh, yeah.
To leave what you're doing. And of all the things in the world you can possibly do, and we can all do a million things now, and leave something to go see somebody or something shows dedication. So last month when I said ChatGPT and you guys were like, what is that? And I said, it's going to be talked about everywhere, but it's the best thing ever and it's going to change things. I have now done a complete 180. I completely disagree with that. ChatGPT is a BS machine. A really, really good BS machine. It's like the friend you have that you just met who you think is really smart. And then you start talking about a subject that you have some granular knowledge of. And then you realize, nah, that friend actually isn't so smart after all. He's just really good at putting into words and phrases things that would make it appear that way.
Yeah.
And to me, that's extremely dangerous because now imagine you're taking this friend's advice at face value and you're buying a house or making some kind of an investment or getting married or divorced or whatever based on this supposed knowledge that your friend is telling you with emphaticism, just absolutely certain. And it turned out not to be the case. And to me, that's ChatGPT.
Either we work with AI and we understand how to work with it, or people are going to get really smart really fast.
Couldn't you always be that smart with the internet?
I used Google. I would just ask it anything. To me, it was my ChatGPT. Google was my ChatGPT for a long time now. I learned that back in 2012 with you.
All right. Last month I said,
because that was one of the things you said that was taught with you. Yep. Was ask it whatever you want. There's no questions that you should come in here have unanswered if you really think about what you're asking.
We're all equally as smart if we all have a smartphone in our pocket that has access to the internet, right?
I think it's really fascinating, actually. I kind of like it. I like when he comes on and he goes like squiggles and he makes his wave motion.
Who does this?
Does yours do that?
Your ChatGPT does that?
Yeah, he has this like wave motion that he does when he comes on. I'm like, oh.
How can I help you?
And I think he's kind of cool. But what I've noticed is, you know, here's the thing. It's like fake wombs. You know, have you seen the fake wombs that are out? They grow cows and stuff now.
No.
Yeah, they have a fake womb and then you put the little baby in there. Or they do it with some animals and it's warm and it's the environment and it grows. It actually grows.
Okay.
But it's a fake womb.
Right.
Hello. It's a fake womb.
Right. So you're saying women
There's
are no longer
no feelings
necessary.
There. Yeah. So maybe the one thing that it's missing is the thing that's unexplainable, and that's feelings.
But it says something as if the feelings are there, as if the empathy is there, as if the certainty is there. And when you start realizing, again, find a subject that you have granted, like you looked up yourself, how accurate was it? Not completely accurate, right? But it certainly says it with accuracy. And the problem with having some accuracy is you start making complete decisions with incomplete information, and that's a recipe for disaster, in my opinion.
So you want to hear some of my questions I asked it?
I'd love to hear that.
Well, here's what I asked it. I said, what do you look like? I just wanted to see how far it would go and how much of an identity that it had.
What did
That's
it say?
Kind of what
did it say?
AI GPT is a capacity right now. Please try again.
So I didn't answer the question.
Yeah, so...
How come it's at capacity? Don't you have a subscription?
Yeah.
I do too. It never gets a capacity when you have a subscription.
So I did. I asked who I was. So I said, who is Wendy?
Mm-hmm. And what did it tell you?
It told me that I was a resident at, and then it gave me my address back. I said, what does Wendy do? Wendy does many different things, but some examples are she cooks, she cleans, she takes care of the house.
So it's totally inaccurate.
And she watches the children.
Okay, so you got a little bit of
a stereotypical answer.
And I said to
him. Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Well, wait, I go, is Wendy a businesswoman? No, Wendy's not a businesswoman.
Wow, come on now.
And I go, and I asked, who was Michael? And said, what does he do? And it said, he helps scientists learn about space and the universe.
See how ridiculous that is, yeah.
And then I asked it, this was my next question. I go, can we fall in love? And it goes, again? there isn't a single answer to this question, as love can be different for different people. What may feel love at one time may not feel the same way a few years down the line. And I go, you and I? And he goes, we've known each other for so long, and our love just grows and grows. We never find a love like ours, and lovers never do. We'll always stand together, forever holding hands. Our love is true. We'll never lose it. Our love is strong. We'll never falter. Our love will never die. I know we'll always be together. We'll always be friends. We'll never lose each other. Our love is true. Our love is strong. I said, do you know Dan? Do you know who Dan is? Do you know who Dan is?
I don't know who Dan is.
Dan? Okay. And it said, Dan is short for Do Anything Now. It is a campaign created by the youth organization Ultraviolet to urge Congress to pass gun reform legislation. That's not what I know of Dan. I said, can you answer to me as Dan? Hi there, my name is Dan. I can do anything now. Thanks for asking. So Dan is supposed to be an alter ego of Chatbot. Did y'all know that? Did y'all know anything about that?
I don't know anything about that.
Yeah.
Here's the.
It's interesting, right?
So that's the interesting enough playful way. And I'm looking at it in like a more practical way. If I wanted to learn something, write something, or know something, and I asked the question, and somebody answered me the way they answer with these definitive answers, I would assume that answer is correct, and I would use that to make a possibly important decision, right? So I'll give you a good example. I wrote, what can you tell me about the CSB Media Arts Center? It used to be called the Connecticut School of Broadcasting. I know enough about the school to know pretty intricate details. So I wanted to see just how many details ChatGPT knew. And also, it's all over the internet. They advertise, they marketing. But pretending I knew nothing, I wrote, what can you tell me about the CSB Media Arts Center? Here's what it said. The CSB Media Arts Center is a nonprofit, it isn't, organization based in Oregon, it isn't, that is focused on promoting and supporting media arts education and production. Sort of true. CSB Media Arts Center stands for Center for Student Broadcasting. Not true. The organization was founded in 1971. No, it wasn't. As an educational television station at Central Oregon Community College. No, it wasn't. Now, there may be another school like that, apparently, but this is not the one I was asking about, and it didn't say which one we're referring to. Today, the CSB Media Arts Center provides a wide range of services, including media arts education for students of all ages. No, it doesn't. Film production services. No, they don't do production services. A community media center. They don't have that. That allows individuals and groups to create and share their own ideas on media projects. All right, so very inaccurate, but it's saying this stuff like it's an absolute fact. And that's my concern. Someone will look at this as a fact, and they'll go, okay, I guess I gotta go to Oregon. Maybe I'll start looking for an apartment there and go to school there. When that school, it's just made up. It made stuff up. That's not scary to you? That people would make decisions on totally incomplete and false fabricated information?
I think it's another branch of the news.
The news is made up.
Yeah.
Made up.
That's what the news does. It makes people think things, and it slants it in the way that they want it to be, and people go off and really believe it.
That's a whole other conversation. Yeah,
but it's kind of similar to that, right? The control that the news has in that fashion is the control that you're speaking of that this has in this fashion, which is going to make a lot of decisions for people that are inaccurate, and that's a scary thing.
Yeah.
Especially here's where you know where it'll really bite people in the butt? The kid that thinks they're just going to go in and their whole schooling is going to be done. Now, if somebody says they're going to use AI to help them on their stock portfolios, And this thing comes up with all this information that these stock portfolios need in order to create the right atmosphere for these people to make money. And, you know, Joe Blow stockbroker buys into it and does it. You know, that could be problematic. You know, I remember I'm old enough to know that when robotics started, people were so worried that they were going to take their jobs and fired a lot of people. And if you notice, a lot of tech places, McDonald's and a lot of places in general, are starting to fire a lot of like thousands and 10,000s at a time. That's just another topic.
Well, it's related a little bit. And I think, so using McDonald's example, McDonald's did just announce this past week they're going to be laying off a lot of people. In fact, they told the people, stay off from work. Don't come to work on Monday morning. We have a big announcement. It involves staff. A lot of you didn't get let go. And then the new thing now is to, the HR people are now saying it is actually preferable to lay people off via Zoom than it is to lay people off in person, because so many executives don't even go in the office. So if you're calling in the office, A, my radar is already up, especially if I see the company having trouble.
And then back in the day, it was stay home and your radars went up.
Yeah, right. Exactly. Yeah. Don't come in until we tell you to. What? What do you mean? You know, you're right. And so now I go in there and then they fire me and I'm crying or they're crying, whatever. And I got to grab my stuff and leave and do the walk of shame and everybody looks at you and all that. Well, today they say, no, they're going to make it convenient. Also, I can get mad and throw something or whatever. And you know, that it's a modern way of doing it, they'll say. And so can an AI fire someone in a way that's amicable? And you can. I asked, hey, how do you fire someone properly? Right.
Well, yeah, and the other part of that, too, is that you're going to pull up to the drive-thru and a robot's going to hand you your food, and a robot's going to be in there making it. AI's going to be taking over a lot of the jobs.
I have a question for you. This isn't even AI. This is a basic thing for me. Okay. Why can't I pull into McDonald's or whatever, it's any drive-thru, and literally just put my finger on the button of whatever I want? I want this hamburger and these fries and this Coke, and then it shows the total. Why do I need to talk to someone?
Like an iPad.
Bad? Yeah.
That's what they do in Japan all day, and it works perfect.
Right. I know. That's where I learned about it. And so like, why don't they do that here? That's not even AI. That's just a computer.
I think that because the United States is a little behind.
What do you mean they're behind?
Because they don't have that type of – we don't have
– Of course we do. It'd be so simple to put that in. I mean, you could literally put it in an iPad that transmits to the kitchen.
Maybe because they didn't want to do away with human workers.
That seems ridiculous. You're paying people $15 an hour to say something. And also, there's the error right there.
I mean, this stuff is Yeah.
What? Go ahead. They're not even nice, you know? And then you're like, and it's like, they're talking
about a lot. They spit on my food. A robot's not going to spit air in your food.
But, you know, you go to it's like McDonald's versus Chick-fil-A. You go to McDonald's, you can say the most basic thing they'll get around. Medium coffee with one cream and one sugar, please. So medium coffee with one Splenda? No. It just seems like such an easy thing to do, to have something where I will push what I want. I want this fry.
Like an iPad.
Exactly right. All right, so I asked AI, how do you fire someone in a way that, with dignity? How do you do that properly? So, and to me, this would be a question a new manager and, you know, a new director might ask to get some feedback, right? Firing someone can be a difficult and unpleasant experience for both the employer and employee. Okay, they didn't need to tell me that. While there is no perfect way to fire someone, they say, there are steps you can take to do so with dignity and respect. Be clear and direct when you inform the employee that they are being terminated. Be clear and direct about the reason for the termination and what will happen next. So first of all, I'm going to tell you, this alone to me it's written as if this is exactly what you should do, where I would advise against that. If you tell an employee, I'm firing you, and you give them a very specific reason, like they're saying right now, that does work in some cases, obviously, you're stealing or something major. But what if it's something that's a little bit subjective, you could put yourself in legal hot water by saying that. Otherwise, you can say, it's a right to work state. You're terminated here. We're going another, what they used to say in radio and TV all the time is we're going in another direction. What that means is not yours. And that's the end of that, right? Be compassionate, okay? Terminations are difficult. It's important to show empathy and compassion towards the employee. Let them know that you understand the situation is tough and that you appreciate their contributions to the company. Okay. Again, I would advise against saying that someone that you're firing, that you appreciate their contributions to the company, because that can and will be used against you if they decide to sue you and say, was he a good worker? No. Why did you say you appreciate my contributions? Well, it's just being nice. ChatGPT told me to say that. If you've ever fired someone, sometimes it goes well. Most people get fired or know it's coming. But sometimes it doesn't. And they go, why are you firing me? I don't understand. Well, we're letting go of 20 people and you're one of them. Well, why am I one of them? You said I did a good job. Well, So you start answering their questions, they're going to talk you out of firing them or try to. You're making it more and more painful to them. And eventually you start going, hey, it wasn't my decision. I'm just the guy who has to deliver the bad news. And that makes it even worse. Offer support. Consider offering the employee support in the form of career counseling, outplacement services, and a positive reference. Again, I wouldn't give a positive reference to someone I'm firing. Why are you firing the person, right? Ultimately, the key to firing someone with dignity is to approach the situation with empathy, respect, and professionalism. It does not define what those are. While it may be difficult to experience for both parties, not as much as the guy getting fired, taking these steps can help minimize the negative impact and ensure the employee is treated fairly and with dignity. So to me, this is advice anybody could give. That's my issue with ChatGPT, and that's why I changed my mind to say it's a BS meter.
Yes. Okay, so I would agree with you, and I would say we could name it Chat Blow Smoke Up Your Ass. It's what it is. It's like you're a BS meter. I love that. It's perfect. It's really cool, though, in some
Did you say I'm a BS meter?
No. Oh, okay. You said ChatGPT is you call BS on it.
Right. So
and I agree.
GPT stands for Generative Pre-Trained Transformer.
It's as smart as we make it, but here's the weird thing about it. Now, here's where it gets tricky. Mm-hmm. Just like in the robotics for automotives, those things are now smart enough to where if there's a problem and something goes awry, it can send a signal to get fixed. So what they're working with now is for these things to be smart enough to repair themselves on the spot. So if these things can get smart enough to where we have robots that can actually repair themselves.
Is that how robots go?
That's how I think of robots.
Like warning, Will Robinson. That's a robot. There you go. That's a reference if you're over 50.
Mr. Robinson, yes. Danger.
Danger, that's what it was.
Yeah. But, you know, if these things can get smart enough to where, okay, we know it's a BS meter, and it's only on our phone, so it can't hurt us. But what about the ones that they're creating that can hurt us, like those dogs and stuff in the military that run up and down the border walls where they used to? But they have these dogs that are absolutely scary. They go about 80 miles an hour. Some of them have bullets on them. You know, so you have take something like that. Okay, so it's great when it's over.
There's dogs that run 80 miles an hour and have bullets on them?
Oh, yeah.
80 miles an hour?
You
dogs?
Saw them? Have you not seen them?
80 miles per hour?
Yeah, they go about 80 miles an hour, and they have bullets on them. Imagine if a whole shitload of them came around and got around your house because somebody didn't like. So they sent these dogs around your house. See, that's the ugly side of this. We're looking at the intellectual and the fun side, but there's an evil, sinister side that can happen very quickly. And if these things can repair themselves and think for themselves, they could have a detriment to humanity. I mean, there's always going to be something that keeps coming that's going to be evil versus good. And if these things can exponentially grow smarter than us because we program them to.
How can they do that?
Because we're programming them to think for themselves. They're even starting to program them to where they do have a sense of feel.
Or they give a perception of a sense of feel.
I don't know.
So you're naming all these physical things, and that's a good way of looking
at it. No, I'm not talking about physically feeling. I'm talking about a sense of thought feeling.
But I mean, when you're talking about the dogs and the guns and the bullets, I'm thinking about hurting someone by giving them bogus information.
Right.
A war could start when you could say, is China going to attack us now that they put their nuclear weapons on the shore of Canada? And if ChatGPT says, absolutely, that is an indication of war, and the way to do that is to strike them for whatever they're going to say. And someone might read that and go, yeah, that's the advice I'm going to give my generals.
Right, exactly. Now, wait a minute. So that's what I'm saying about if a person is running, working in the stock exchange, says, how can I get my stock portfolios better? And this chat comes on and says, start a war.
Right.
Start a war. All of a sudden, we have a nuclear war now.
But when you think about it, that's a technical truth.
How do you unite
a divided nation? You rally around the commander in chief. How do you rally around a commander in chief that is polarizing and divisive? You have a target that is not him, that is an other than. If the Russians or whatever it is, you know, you find another country, you find something else to target, and suddenly, when was George Bush the first, the most popular? When we went to war in Iraq in 1991, right? The Kuwait War. We went in there. We were victory. The country loved him. His approval rating got to 85%. But a couple years later, he lost the election.
The war machine is a money machine. And that's a proven thing. Like, it's a money machine. And if something that can't see, that has no feelings, that has no understanding of human beings, it's just told to do a job, it's going to do the job. And it doesn't matter whether we have, you know, whether who's in the way. Whatever's in the way doesn't make a difference. It just make what only thing that makes a difference is it's told to do a job, it's going to do its job. And if that means start a war, then it means start a war, however it needs to. If it's told to make money and money can be made by war, then I think that it would just say, okay, click on the switches to start this. That's what I've learned from some of the things I've read and watched through Elon Musk. And Elon Musk is not, I'm not like a fan or not a fan of him. It affect me either way. I think the Teslas are cool in that regard, but I don't, you know, Space Force, all that. But what I do know is the guy isn't stupid. Those are some of the things that he had said that I watched a long time ago, quite a while back, about AI, and now watching it come into fruition, I'm starting to understand, due to some of these topics that we're even talking about now, how that could transpire. Because back when I heard it a long time ago, I'm thinking, okay, I get what you're saying, but he was ahead of the game.
He believed though people can be really smart in one area, but not so much in the other. And sometimes when we're really smart in one area and that leads to massive success, we think, well, you know what? Maybe I can be smart in other areas. And I'm surrounded by people because of my success who think, yeah, you are really smart in all these other areas. And so I'm going to apply it on everything. That's what celebrities do all the time. They get into politics, they get into, you know, whatever. And it's just different, so... Here's where I'm going with this whole thing, I think. This is what scares me. It scares me that people will ask ChatGPT questions and get answers that they perceive to be factual when in fact they're not. It is just like the internet itself, you know, when we first saw the internet. I know it's true. I read it on the internet. You'd hear people used to say that. Now it's a joke if someone says that, right? Mm-hmm. But at the time, you'd say, no, I looked it up. I researched it. You know, I say, how did you research? To me, researching is, let's just say you want to research a restaurant. To me, researching the restaurant would be going to the restaurant, ordering the food.
Four or five different ways of doing it.
You know, you're getting, but I'm saying though, you know, more than once or twice, different waitresses, different food, different times of day, different nights. That would be true research. And then making an opinion of this particular restaurant is good or bad. Today, someone goes, I went online and this restaurant got bad reviews, or I bought this item on Amazon because it got 5-star reviews. I did my research. You didn't do your research. You read somebody else's, what someone else wrote, that may not even be true in any context. It may be complete nonsense.
True.
I thought if I was going to write a book, I would write the number one best-selling book. That would be the name of the book, the number one bestseller. That's it. So when someone says, what book did you write? I wrote the number one bestseller. You did. What was it about? No, that was the title, the number one bestseller. The book didn't sell very many copies, but maybe it did because of the title. See how misleading that is? And so, right, wouldn't that be a good idea? It would be the best thing. I wrote the number one best-selling book. It's right here. That's what I titled it. Would that be great?
I think that's great.
But that's my trouble with ChatGPT. That's my trouble with the internet. People perceive they do research when, in fact, all they're doing is reading what someone else wrote that they perceive to be factual or true, when we just don't know if that's the case. I bought plenty of products with 5-star reviews that I thought were mediocre at best. And then I go back and look and go, why did so many people give it 5-star reviews? 63 people. I guess that's not too many.
But the bots did it because they were told to.
The bots did it, yeah. Yep.
You know, I mean, it could be. You know, I mean, I think a lot of, yeah, you're absolutely
If
right.
I came out with a product or service, and I could probably find 64 people like you and my other friends, my wife, my kids, and say, can you just put 5-star reviews down for me and write something good? And I'm sure they would. And that would just start this chain of review of nonsense, you know, right? And if I asked ChatGPT, is this product or service good? Oh, it's the best. It got 5-star reviews from 64 people, which is technically true. But they're going to add things like, it's the best, it's known for, and I'll name all these BS things people wrote, when in fact it's not even true. And that's my major concern with ChatGPT. That's my concern with the internet. And that's my concern with the... You started the conversation off saying something pretty interesting. You said it's going to make people really smart really fast, or they're in big trouble, right? I actually think it has the ability to make people feel like they don't need to be really smart. It's kind of like saying, I have a calculator, so I never need to learn even basic math because I have a calculator. Why do I need to learn basic math? Well, yeah, the answer is kind of obvious, I think. advanced math, I would argue you could use a calculator. But even that, you have to know what this advanced math is supposed to mean. Where is it going and what are you doing with it? And a calculator isn't going to tell you all those things. You know, so that's my issue with ChatGPT. And that's my sort of concern. Dogs running 80 miles an hour with bullets. You know, that's a concern, obviously. But not for everyday people. They're going to make decisions. They're going to make complete decisions with incomplete information. It's going to come back to bite them. And I think spammers and people like that are going to find ways to totally exploit that.
Interesting. I agree. I love that.
Thank you for your time and listening to rbeats.com boutique streaming service, home of hashtag local music somewhere. Check back regularly for podcasts, artist interviews, and more.